As Steve said, we're going to be in Psalm 25 tonight. Lebeth told me a while ago that song, she was one of the first songs she ever learned here at SFA in the prayer group way back then. That was in what year? 72. Three. You're keeping better count, Lebeth. What should I think of that? Okay, anyway, he remembers good stuff. Okay, but it was one of the very first songs that we learned back then, and I've always loved that song. Now, tonight, if my records are correct, we talked about Psalm 25 only this last August. And our focus then was David as a sinner. And all very much related to that, our focus tonight is God and His forgiveness. Kind of go together. So Psalm 25, and I'm going to read the whole psalm to you. We just sang a lot of it. To Thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in Thee I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of those who wait for Thee will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed. Make me to know Thy way, O Lord. Teach me Thy paths. Lead me in Thy truth and teach me. For Thou art the God of my salvation. For Thee I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, Thy compassion and Thy loving kindness. For they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to Thy loving kindness, remember Thou me. For Thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore He instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice, and He teaches the humble His ways. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep His covenant and His testimonies. For Thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. For who is man that fears the Lord? Who He will instruct him in the way he should choose? His soul will abide in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The secret of the Lord is to those who fear Him, and He will make them know His covenant. My eyes are continually towards the Lord, for He will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. Look upon my affliction, my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Look upon my enemies, for they are many. They hate me with violent hatred. Guard my soul and deliver me. Do not let me be ashamed, for I take refuge in Thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for Thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all of his troubles. Now, last week, we looked at the life of David as a man of spiritual integrity and innocence and uprightness. And it was my hope last week to establish the point that David did indeed walk in integrity. And you remember we celebrated all the saints of old who walked with God. We had a roll call of saints. And David made, and I think rightly, that claim for himself that he walked in integrity. Now, last week we looked at Psalm 18, verses 23 and 24 as an example of that. David there says, I was blameless with him or with God. I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands and his eyes. His claim of integrity for himself is amazing, for David saw himself as walking in the very eyes or gaze of God. That is, he was under the scrutiny of an all-knowing God. And to say that you walk in integrity in light of that is an amazing statement. God sees and knows everything. Now, we also noted last week that David openly confessed his need for forgiveness, where he freely acknowledged himself as a sinner. He does in this psalm. So we see that in the life of David, two great truths: the upward call of God in a life of spiritual integrity and innocence and uprightness, and all the while, at the very same time, the need for forgiveness due to real moral lapses. I mean, real sin. So we are looking at David's psalm tonight, Psalm 25. Now, this psalm demonstrates these two truths. The psalm has a universal and timeless character about it. Saints through the ages who have sought to follow in God's path feel in this psalm the very same struggles and contradictions that they find in their own life. So tonight we will primarily look at God's forgiveness towards sinners. So let's just for a few moments look at Psalm 25, meditating on the life of David as it's expressed in this psalm. Immediately, with David's first words in verse 1, we see that he's in trouble. The first line sets the tone for the whole rest of the psalm. To thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. This is the focal point of the psalm. David lifts his heart, his soul, his essential self. Someone said, use the word, his ego, his I, who he is. His very life's breath up to God for help. Now, when men pray like this, they are in desperation and are truly praying. Picture David on his knees with his hands lifting someone in prayer up to God. Now look again. David has carefully taken up into his hands his very own soul. And that is what he's lifting up to God. This is the image presented to us in verse 1. Unto thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Now, you ask yourself, why is David praying so vigorously? He says it. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Those who deal treacherously without cause. David has treacherous enemies who would exult over him and put him to shame. David's enemies cast a shadow over this whole psalm. David is in a life and death struggle with foes. His very soul is in danger. He feels himself tangled in a net. He says he's lonely and afflicted. He's troubled. He's distressed. He has many enemies that violently hate him. This is in verse 15 through 19. Now, David does not know what to do in the midst of all this. And so he expresses this. He wants to find the path of God for himself in the midst of all of his trouble. Steve said this morning. We talk about finding the will of God for our life. He says we often do it with, we want to pray for, you know, who we're going to marry. And by the way, I never prayed that. Never. To let you know, I didn't want to get married. I decided not to. And then, you know, someone hit me on the club with a club on the top of the head, and there I am. But you see, sometimes we think that's what we pray about, what job we should take, what this or that. No, no, no. The way of God is something far more than that. You said that essentially this morning. David wants to know the path of God for himself in the midst of all these troubles that he's enduring. Throughout this psalm, the word way or ways or the path of God keeps recurring. It comes over and over again. Make me to know thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. We sang that just a while ago. David understands that his only hope is to follow carefully the path of God, or his enemies will triumph over him. But it's right here, at this point, that David's sinful self presents a problem. It's clear and self-evident that a right relationship with God is needed to walk in the path of God. Is that self-evident to you? Should be. A right relationship with God is needed to walk in the path of God. For there are many foes that meet us on the path intending to block our way. We're going to need a right relationship with God. Dangers abound even for those who are following God's path. Do you think this, now I want you to know, you think it's a safe place to follow God's will? Read Psalm 23. What's it say about he leads us to the valley of the shadow of death? Why did he go that way? God led him. Dangers will follow, and we need this right relationship with God. Now, verses 7, 8, 11, and 18 deal in some way or another with the problem of sin that breaks up our relationship with God. How could David, a sinner, presume to walk in the paths of righteousness? David prays, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation," verse 5. David would know the instruction of the Lord in verse 12. He wants to know the secret of the Lord, intimacy with Yahweh himself. David wants to experience being drawn close with God for the purpose of secret and confidential communication. Verse 14. David aspires the ultimate security in walking in the ways of God in spiritual integrity and uprightness. That's down there at the very end of the psalm. But all of David's hopes and desires will come to nothing due to sin. And as we look at this psalm, we can confidently say David is doomed without forgiveness. And that's the subject of tonight's teaching. David is not going to take one single step without this thing called God's forgiveness. Everything depends on the gracious forgiveness of God. If David is to walk with God in the face of his sins, David needs to know one thing: forgiveness. Now, the following four verses have at their core God's gracious dealings with sinful people. I'm going to read them to you just real quickly. This is verse 7, "Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions." In verse 8, David's hope is in a God who instructs sinners in the way. Verse 11, "For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great." Verse 18, "Look upon my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins." In one way or another, these four verses all present to us this problem of sin, which God deals with David in a gracious way. way, and forgiving way. Forgiveness brings mankind into fellowship with God, who teaches sinners. Now, the will of God, it is true, lies before each one of us in our Bibles, in the written Word of God. But the right understanding of that Word is with God Himself, and He must teach us. And if our relationship is broken, we may have the Word of God before us, but we will not learn a thing from it, because God is our teacher. I'm going to read that to you again. I didn't say it. Kyle and Delitzsch said it. I don't know whether it was Kyle that said it or Delitzsch that said it. But it's in their book. Forgiveness brings mankind into fellowship with God, who teaches sinners. The will of God, it's true, lies before us in the written Word. But right understanding of God's Word is in God Himself. The Bible will always be beyond us without God's personal instruction. God instructs. He instructs us only because He's merciful in greatness. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore He instructs sinners in the way. That's verse 8. Now, I think this verse, that verse I just quoted, is one of the happiest texts in all the Bible. Now, maybe it's just because the tune that... Who wrote that? Barry McGuire. Huh. Okay. Maybe it just seems happy to me, but I think it's a happy text. Maybe it's just the tune, but I think it's more. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore He instructs sinners in the way. Are you a sinner? Well, you're qualified to matriculate into the University of God's ways. Go down there and sign up. If you're a sinner, you're qualified. Good and upright is our God, and He instructs sinners in the way. Would you experience the goodness and uprightness of God? Take the good hope that is found in Psalm 25, verse 8. If there was ever a text that has glory on it, it's this one. The fact that He would teach you and I and let us into His school, to His university, where we could learn the ways of God Almighty and marvel of marvels, He does this for sinners. The presumption there is that He forgives them. And which sinners does He instruct in the way? Those who fear God, He will make them know His covenant. The meek will He guide in judgment. The meek will He teach His ways. That's not the New American Standard there. That's another translation. That's verse 9. Verse 14 and verse 9. When we are sick of soul, defeated in heart, lying devastated in the dust, this is when we are truly praying. This is when we are teachable. He instructs sinners in the way. He instructs those who fear Him. He instructs those who are meek before Him. He instructs sinners in the way. It's when we look squarely at our sin and know that our fate without Christ's forgiveness is only shame, collapse, and ruin. Let me not be ashamed. It is then that we are truly praying as we depend only on God's grace and goodness. Being taught of the Lord requires qualifications in us. We've got the first one down. It's quite easy. We're sinners. But it also requires the fear of God and meekness before Him. And knowing one's own soul sinfulness brings a man off his high horse and makes him teachable. Knowing one's sin makes a man teachable. His pride is stripped off of him, and he becomes meek in God's hands. Have you been somehow humbled in life? And I would say probably everyone in this room has had some humbling in this life. God may be readying you for His very own instruction. God teaches those who, like David, realize their own sinfulness. Now, the Scriptures are full of promises that our sins do not have to mean our ultimate ruin and destruction. I quoted these verses last week, but they're worth re-quoting. Isaiah 43, verse 25. I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake. I will not remember your sins. That is a highlighter verse. Jeremiah could pray, although our iniquities testify against us, O Lord, act for thy name's sake. Truly our apostasies have been many. We have sinned against thee. Act. For our sake, although our sins. This is a God who forgives sins. We in the New Testament era see clearly our hope of forgiveness. We sing, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Veins where sinners plunge beneath the flood to lose all their guilty stains. This is something that is as foundational, the universe exists because of God's mercy. And one of the elders answered me, saying, who are these clothed in white robes? Who are they, and where have they come? And I said to him, this is John, my Lord, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Glory. Now we find ourselves in great tribulation. Often. And our enemy, like Apollyon in Pilgrim's Progress, breaks into a grievous rage, John Bunyan says. And he says, I am an enemy to this prince you serve, that is Jesus. I hate his person, his laws, his people. I come out on purpose to withstand you. Then Apollyon straddled across the whole breadth of the way, the path of God for Christian. He says, I am void of fear. Prepare thyself to die. For I swear by the infernal den, thou shalt go no further. Now in this situation, we need to have the forgiveness of God upon us. It's because the path is narrow. Our enemy is clever and fierce. And we are prone to failure. That's why we need forgiveness. We Christians rightly sing, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love." Blessed forgiveness. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Blessed forgiveness. Now, do you remember how we ended last week? We as Christians wake up each morning to follow one who is, the book of Hebrews describes it, to follow one who is holy, innocent, undefiled, separate from sinners, and exalted in the heavens. He is the one to whom we pray. He is our hope. Oh my God, I trust in Thee, David says. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Let none that wait for Thee be ashamed. Verses 2 and 3. David has hope because he knows God's forgiveness. He also knows God has worked some spiritual integrity and uprightness into his life. He says, let integrity and uprightness, what's it say at the very end there, preserve me. Sometimes I think that, and I need to be careful what I say here, but sometimes that God has worked into our life and He's steadily worked into our character certain character traits. And it's the work of His Spirit. This is not human. It does not come from our natural man. But He sometimes works into our life spiritual integrity and uprightness, and we, by our new spiritual nature, do the right thing. Do you understand what I'm saying here? It protects us. It preserves us. Now finally, in verse 22, David turned suddenly from praying for himself to praying for the people of God. David knows that his experience is not unique to himself. Rather, sin and the hatred of the world bring all of God's people into trouble, just as they did to him. Now, I like that at the end of this, David prays for his people. I think that often when we suffer, it is then that we look out into the rest of the world and see our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and we see we're not alone. And I think our prayers should reflect that as well. And David ends all of this, "Redeem Israel, O God, out of all of his trouble." It's a glorious way to end this psalm. Let's pray. Father, you are so good to us. You are good. And therefore, Lord, you've even stooped low to teach us your ways. Well, we pray that you'd not let us go, that by your great mercy, your forgiveness would abide upon us and keep us from our enemies, for there are many: the world, the flesh, the devil. Keep us, Lord. Let us not be ashamed. Give it to us to walk before you in your way, in your paths. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.